started in the message this morning. The reason that we have Miracle Sunday, the first Sunday of every month, is because God said to. Amen? And out of an act of obedience, we're doing as the Lord instructed. And God has done some marvelous and some wonderful things, and he'll continue to do marvelous and wonderful things because he's God. Amen? Amen? How many know that obedience is better than sacrifice? Amen? So all God asks us to do is what he asks us or asks us to do something that we just do as he asks. Amen? Praise God. I want to say something before we I'm going to probably say a lot of somethings, but I'm not going to be long with it today. Hopefully not. Amen? When we're looking at these love letters that Jesus is writing to the churches plural, the church yesterday, today, and the churches forever, okay? When he puts plural in the end of each letter to each church, he's speaking of churches as a whole. There was hundreds of churches at this time when these seven were written, so it's written to the church complete. But the Lord was speaking to me about something. I want you to have understanding that it's spiritual, but it's also literal. Jesus was king, priest, king, natural, priest, spiritual. King, priest. So we can't only take this and apply it spiritually. We got to apply it naturally, the natural and the spiritual. If that wasn't true, we could just say, oh, I'm already in heaven. I'm seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And I could make everything spiritual. And it's not all spiritual. We're still in the natural. So we have to deal with the natural and we have to deal with the spiritual. And when Jesus is writing these love letters, he's talking to them about the natural and the spiritual. And his first letter we looked at a deeper revelation of love. And he wrote this letter to the church of Ephesus, and he said that they had left their first love. In other words, they didn't stop loving, but they weren't loving as fervently as they were before. And he gave them instructions to remember, to repent, and return and do the first works. Then we looked at a deeper revelation of wealth, and we looked at the church at Smyrna. And Smyrna was the persecuted church. And they had gone through battles, and sometimes they felt like they were in the bottom of the barrel. But they had to, God wanted them to understand that they were blessed. That sometimes you'll go through battles. Sometimes you'll feel like you're at the bottom of the barrel. But God wants you to know that you're blessed. Then we looked at the church of Pergamos, and the church of Pergamos was the indulging church. The indulging church. And we talked about the deeper revelation of truth. We talked about the association, you know, and we talked about the apprehension, what we take in, and we also talked about the application, how we apply it, that we're not to be a stumbling block to others. So. We talked about that, and then last week we talked about the deeper revelation of compromise, and we talked about the Church of Thyatira, and the Church of Thyatira, the woman Jezebel, the false prophetess, was teaching them wrong, and we talked about seducing spirits and defiling spirits and idolatrous spirits that come. But today, we're going to be looking at the church of Sardis. This church was a dead church. They were alive, but they were dead. There wasn't much going on in this place. They had gotten to a place of religious activities. There was formalism, and there was false professions, and faint-heartedness. They were lethargic. They were in slumber. They were in spiritual sleep. They weren't alive. Jesus looked at them and said, "Man, you're you're alive, but you're dead. And one of the things the Lord had spoke to me in my heart, and in Ephesians 4:30, the Word of God says, and grieve not the Spirit of the Holy Ghost in whom you are sealed until the day of redemption. So what they were doing is they were grieving the Spirit, and it was by the things that they were doing, they were grieving the Spirit, and their light was just about out. There wasn't hardly any life in it. And so we're going to look at this church today. And, you know, this is something that the Lord wants to speak to every church in every age. And there's something that the Holy Spirit has to say to you today because he brought you here. Amen? You may think a loved one invited you or a friend brought you or you just know. Because you wouldn't have come into this house today unless the Holy Spirit drew you to be here. No one is here today by accident. God has purposed something in every heart and every life and in each and every individual that's in the room. Doesn't that say something to you that God, out of all these people in this universe and world that we live in, that he loves you so much, that he cares about you, that he would speak to your individual heart? Amen? So my prayer today is, as this word goes forth, that you receive the word from the Lord. All I am is a messenger. Don't look at the messenger. Listen to the message. Amen? Listen to the message, because God has a message for each and every one of us today. So let's look in their word. Open your Bibles to Revelation chapter 3. And let's see what the Lord wants to impart into our hearts and lives today. Verse number 1, he says, unto the angel of the church in Sardis, write these things, saith he that has the seven spirits of God, or the fullness of God. Jesus is walking and speaking in the fullness of God. The seven spirits we'll find in Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2. If you're keeping notes, you can make reference to that. And the seven stars are the messengers, or the angels that is bringing the message to the church. Listen, don't get me wrong. I ain't saying I'm an angel in any way. All right? Don't misread what I'm saying. All right? I'm a vessel to be used by God, like each and every one that's gathered in this room. Each and every one of us are a vessel that God wants to work in and through. Amen? He says, I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. He said, be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that have an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. I want to focus your attention this morning to verse number 2. He says, be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Today, the title of this morning's message is A Deeper Revelation of Life. Jesus came that we may have life and the abundance thereof. So today, the three things I want to share out of this text today is, one, to be alert. Two, there's a call for us to be active. And three, for us to be aspired or ambitious. Alert, active, and aspired. Are you with me? Let's lift our words together and make a declaration in the house today. Repeat after me. Say, Lord, this is your word. You sent your word here today to speak to me. I believe I am everything your word says I am. I believe I can have everything your word says I can have. I believe I can do everything your word says I can do. Today, I will hear God's word. My life will never be the same. Lord, speak to me, for I am listening. My ears are open. My heart is attentive. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, we're so grateful for your word. We're so grateful that you sent it here to accomplish what you sent it to do in the house this morning. So, Father, I pray that you speak through this vessel. Father God, speak with clarity. Speak with understanding, Father God. May everyone in this congregation today be edified. May they be encouraged. May they be comforted by the preaching and teaching of your word. And when all is said and done, you'll receive all the glory and the honor and the praise. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen and amen. Praise God. You know, first he says to be watchful. To be watchful, to be alert. You know, when I was looking at that, he was just saying this church was they were in a state of carelessness. They were a state of slumber. And the Lord is just saying, wake up. You know, I believe the Lord wants to give us some spiritual Starbucks. Can we take a drink of some spiritual Starbucks that wake us up? God wants to spiritually wake you and I up. You know, turn with me to Romans chapter 13 for a moment. The thought is being alert. Paul writes in Romans 13, 11, he says, and that knowing the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. You know, just as Jesus is writing to this church in Sardis, God wants you and I to know that the day is at hand. The day is at hand. And God wants us to wake up. He wants us to be alert. He says it's that our salvation is nearer than when it first appeared. And so what he is saying to you and I is, hey, he wants to give us some spiritual Starbucks. Amen. You know that God won't pour anything in you that you won't allow him to pour in. God will not do anything that you and I will not allow him to do. I believe that there's something getting ready to happen in the church that's never been seen before, that will never have ever been witnessed since the time of the church began. I believe God's going to pour out like never before. And he's trying to get his children positioned. We were, I don't know if it'll work. Let me see. I was over here this morning and I was walking around and I clapped here. And here it goes all the way through the building. And I get over here, it doesn't do the same. It doesn't carry like it does there. And the Lord said something to me just in that moment. He said, that's what position is. So sometimes we've got to get ourselves in position. We got to have ourselves in a place and position so Christ can work through us. Amen? And that's why he's calling the church. That's why he's bringing us in at this time, because he's bringing us in. And there's many that he's bringing. There's many anointed men and women of God that God's drawing in for this that's going to take place. He's going to position them, and it's going to usher in something that's going to be phenomenal in this world. Everyone's going to know the church is alive. Everyone will know the church is alive. Amen, because it's not just what's going to happen in here. God's going to take the church out there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So as we're standing here and we're sitting in this congregation today, God wants you to know, even as a grown-up Christian, he's doing something in your heart and life. He's speaking. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And as the faith of God's word comes in, your faith is going to increase. Amen. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God, right? Amen. I don't know about you, but I want to please my Father. Amen. Amen. He said in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14, he says, "Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." Amen. In other words, we got to take care of God's business today. This is the day the Lord has made. So many times, here's what happens. So many times people are waiting for the move of God. And with the move of God, if you aren't positioned and ready, you'll miss it. You won't be part of it. He wants to work through you, but he'll go right around you, go through someone else. God wants to work through everyone in the house. Everyone in the house is gifted. God gave you something special that no one else has but you. You're special to the kingdom of God. He's just telling us, he's just giving us a little shake. I could see him as he's speaking to the church of Sardis. He said, "Be watchful. Wake up. Shh. Wake up. Wake up. Wake up. Wake up." Just like Paul said in 1 Corinthians 16, 13 and 14, he said, "Be watchful. Stand fast in the faith. Quit like men. Be strong. Let everything be done through love or charity." He says, stand fast. Stand fast. He says, be watchful. Watch for opportunities to do good. Watch for opportunities to receive good. Watch for opportunities to bless someone. Watch for opportunities to minister to someone. Watch for opportunities to help someone. Watch for opportunities that are all around you. Watch for opportunities to keep somebody from going down the wrong path. You know, if you know it's right, you know we have the opportunity. God wants us to be awake as a church. He wants us to have our eyes open. You know, he wants us to be alert. He wants us to be alert. You know, we're to stand fast. We're to stand fast. We're to stand fast. Thank you. He said in Galatians 5 that we're to stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. And don't be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. He said, be watchful, but stand fast. You know, get your ground set. Get positioned. If you're in a battle and you're getting ready to wrestle, or you're getting ready to wrestle with darkness, and you ain't got, and you're not set, that's what standing fast is. He said, quit ye like men. In other words, man up. Man up. Paul said in Ephesians 4:14 that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried away by every sleight of men and crowning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. You know, we're to stand fast. We're not to be as children tossed to and fro. God wants us to be alert. He wants us to stand fast in the faith, not in man up. He says, be strong. He said to be strong in the power of his might and put on the whole armor of God. Amen. That we don't wrestle with flesh and blood, but with principalities and powers and rulers of darkness in this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. Our battle isn't with people. Lord, show me something. Every time that how the adversary gets us to look at people and said of him. And when we look at people, people hurt us, and our battle isn't with people. I'm not in a fight with no one. I'm not in a battle with no one but the Prince of Darkness. See, we're not battling people. People are people. They got good sides, they got bad sides. I think everybody got some good and everybody got some bad. We praise God that the bad disappears. Amen. As we're being transformed into the image of Jesus, we allow that old man to die and let the new man arise. But I don't know about you, sometimes that old man keeps coming back. That old nature? Hello? Huh, must just be me. You see, here's what's so important. And you got to get a hold of this. Because God's wanting to do something. And if we're asleep and we're not seeing this, and we're not alert to what's going on, we'll fight with people. We don't have battles with brothers and sisters. And the devil is sitting back and he's just laughing at us. He's laughing at us because we made the battle about them. And he sits back and says, ha, 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 got him again. Got him again. Got him again. You know, every time God gets to do something, God gets ready to move in a mighty way, the adversary comes in, and the first thing he does is get people to look at people. And we start looking at one another, and we let that spirit of division come in. The Bible says if two can agree, if one can put 1,000 to flight, 2, 10,000, what can we do if we just come into the unity of faith and believe God and his word? Amen. God wants us to wake up, church. He wants to give us some spiritual Starbucks. Hallelujah. Lift your cup and take a drink. Come on, take a drink. Is that the, what do you do? How many drink coffee in the morning here? Let me see your hands. What do you do when you take that first sip in the morning? I could hear the echo. So, let's all take our cup to our mouth. Come on. And let's all take a drink of our spiritual Starbucks. Hallelujah. I said take a sip. I didn't say chug. But you keep chugging, man. If that's renewing you and revitalizing you and getting you excited about God's kingdom, keep drinking. Keep filling the cup, Lord. Amen. But he told him, he said, be watchful. You know, he told him, be watchful. And then he told them to strengthen the things that remain that are ready to die. He said, be active. Be active. So many times, we're looking for something new to do for the kingdom of God, and we let the other things die. So we started something new and this dies, and then we go through this and we start something new and this dies, and we start something. He's telling them, hey, strengthen the things that remain. And when I was looking at that, he took me to Luke 22. So go to Luke 22, and we have the account of Simon Peter. Amen. Where Jesus said in verse 31, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. In other words, it's not about me. I said something to the leadership group this morning, what the Lord laid on my heart, and it was, today I didn't want them to believe for anything for themselves, but to believe for someone else. It's amazing how when we give, it shall be given back to us. Good measure, pressed down, shaking together and running over. As we give unto others, God and other men will give unto us. So in other words, when we're being a blessing, Jesus is telling Simon Peter, he said, hey, Simon, Satan's come. He just wants to mess you up. He wants to have you. Don't you think the adversary wants you? Don't you think he wants to have you? He's come to kill and to destroy. You know, the Bible says, doesn't you think he wants to kill your marriages? He wants to kill your relationships? You know, the Word of God says, a house divided cannot stand. So as we're looking at this, we see it. Hey, he said, Simon, Satan wants to mess you up. But man, I prayed for you. And you haven't got there yet, but you're getting ready to get something. You're getting ready to get something. And when you get it, what I want you to do, it isn't just for you. I want you to strengthen your brethren with it. I want you to be a man of God that I can work through. I want you to be a vessel that I can use you to minister to others. Amen? That's what he is saying to you and I. See, one of the biggest lies of the adversary. Half the church goes through their whole life trying just to make it to heaven. And you already made it to heaven the day you asked Jesus to come into your heart and life as your Lord and Savior. And if that's all he wanted to do with you, he'd have just translated you up when you became a child of God. But God has a plan in everybody's life to work through you to reach others. We said if one can put 1,000 to flight, 2, 10,000, what could happen in this world if we would come into unity of faith and believe God in his word? Amen? You talk about mountains that'll be moved. Amen? So what does the adversary want to do? He wants to cast doubt. All God says is just give him a shout. Amen? Just believe God in his word. We walk by faith, not by sight. Hallelujah. Amen. So turn with me to Ephesians 3:16. God's word. Remember, what he's talking about is being active. Can I say something to everyone in the house? For every child of God that's in the house today, God does not have the reserve system. God only has active duty. The lie of the adversary is, oh, the Lord's got me standing by waiting for this time to come, and then he's going to bring me out. Jesus said, any man having put his hand to the plow. I don't know about you, but you just don't put your hand to the plow and stay in one place. It'd be a boring farming job for you. If you're going to put your hand to the plow, you're moving. Amen? Huh? You get no seed plant. You just stand there. You're just on your hands or on the plow. But it speaks of action. It speaks of being active. And he says, well, how am I active? By the power of God. Paul says in Ephesians 3:16 that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in our hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of God which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. You know, hey, if out of our bellies is going to flow rivers of living water, something's got to be filled to flow out. You can't flow out of an empty well. An empty well doesn't produce water. So we're to be filled with the inner man and the fullness of God. And when we're walking in the fullness of God, then life comes out. Then the abundance of water comes out. Then there's rivers of living water. Amen. That brings life into everything it comes in contact with. Amen. He just talks to us about being active. Being active. You know, he is saying, hey, be watchful. The things that take note and be active, because there's some things that are ready to die. Amen. And in other words, we got to keep rejuvenating. We got to keep refilling. I don't know about you, but if you would see something, if I could show you a picture of Pastor Carl, and I was looking at the Spirit of God, I would lift my hands up, and you see little streams going out everywhere. I got holes all over me. Because there's things in this world that continually drain me. And if I do not refill, I got to constantly refill. I got to constantly be refreshed. I got to constantly go back to the source. You know, you could have a cistern, and you could be a cistern, or I don't like a cistern because it's stale, stagnant water. Probably not a good illustration, but it has to have a source to feed it. And as we're connected to our source, our Heavenly Father, He pours out fresh water. And then we pour out fresh water. Because if we're not getting fresh water, we're pouring out stale water that's stagnant. It's not fresh. It becomes funky. All of a sudden, the flesh man is coming out and not the spirit man. You know, all of a sudden, it's hurting instead of bringing life. You know, the words of the Spirit of God brings life and healing. Even when He corrects and rebukes, He does it in love. And if it comes out in love, it ministers. It heals. It restores. It takes care of the body, the soul, the mind, and the spirit. You know, God speaks about sozo healing and complete healing that he does in our bodies, minds, souls, and spirit. You know, the Word of God tells us that Jesus said in Matthew 5:6, He says, blessed is the man that hungers and thirsts for righteousness, for he shall be filled. There's got to be a hunger, and there's got to be a thirst. I don't know about you, but sometimes I shouldn't do it like this. Probably not even a good illustration there. But so if you're hungry, you get something to eat. If you're wise and you're not hungry, you just don't eat anyway. If you're thirsty, you get something to drink, you know. So Jesus is saying, if we're hungry and thirsting for righteousness, we shall be filled. And see, that hunger and thirst for righteousness is for Jesus Christ and the things of Christ, because Jesus Christ is our righteousness. So if we're filled with Christ and the things of Christ in us, then what comes out of us is Christ. I can't do anything without Him. You know, it's the power of the resurrection. It's the power of the blood. It's a power. It's His power, not my power. So what I want to do, if it's His power and not my power, I want to be a conduit. And if you know anything about electric, a conduit has a positive and it has a ground. And if we're going to be conduits for the kingdom of God, we need to be grounded in the Word so He can flow through us with power. Amen? And that's what we can say a conduit is someone through Christ Jesus that can do it. Conduit, can do it. That's a corny statement by Pastor Carl. I pay him. He gets paid each week just to laugh at me. So, Colossians 1:10 says that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which have made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who have delivered us from the power of darkness and have translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, and whom we have redemption through the blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Amen. For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him are all things consist. And in other words, he's transferring the things to you. All power in heaven and earth been given to in the name of Jesus. And when Jesus said go, he transferred it to you and I. Amen? I believe we walk in kingdom authority. Amen? Are you with me? So here's what he's saying. He's saying to this church, he's saying, be alert, be watchful, strengthen the things that remain that are getting ready to die. In other words, get active. Get active. You know, that speaks of doing something. I can pray till I turn blue in my face, but if I don't take steps to do something about what I'm praying for, so many times we're waiting for God to bring us something, and God's saying, all I'm doing is waiting for you. And he said, because thy works have not been found perfect before God. Works have not been perfect. I want you to understand this word perfect comes from the Greek word pleroo. It's spelled P-L-E-R-O-O. P-L-E-R-O-O. And it's pronounced pleroo. And pleroo means complete. I have not found your works complete before God. And what God was saying there is to be aspired. You know what aspired is? Is to have some ambition. Amen?
Amen?
Amen? Because if you don't have ambition, you won't accomplish what you know, if you don't have goals, if you don't have things that you're walking towards and moving towards, you'll just walk aimlessly. The Bible says without vision, the people perish. So what God is saying is and it's saying to this church of Sardis, you need to get aspired. You need to get some ambition. I want you to just wake up, get active, and be ambitious or be aspired. Be aspired. Now, when I was looking at that, I want you to turn with me to Philippians chapter 3. Verse number 12. Are you with me? Do you hear? Listen, 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 listen. God wants to bring some life to some things that are almost dead. If God can bring life to things that were already dead, like Lazarus in his tomb, then he can put something on and bring fresh life to something that's almost dead. If he can speak to all them dry bones and them dead bones in Ezekiel, and he can bring all them dead and dry bones back to life, God can bring some life to some dead things.
Amen.
Hello? Some have a call of God on their lives. Things didn't happen the way they thought they should happen. And you think that you misheard him or you didn't hear him the right way. And God wants to fan that call and remind you that he does not change his mind. He does not change his mind. That God has a plan in every heart and every life in this room. He says, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, thoughts for good and not for evil, to give you all hope. and expect it in, that God has a purpose and a plan in every life in the room. I want you to get a hold of something that Paul got a revelation of in Philippians 3. Verse number 12. He says, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Here's what Paul said. Paul said, man, I'm just going to paraphrase. I'm on the road to Damascus. My name is Saul, and I'm going to persecute me some Christians. And I have an encounter with the resurrected Lord that turned my life upside down. And he came into my life. And I became a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things were passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And now, the one thing I want to know, Lord, out of all the people in the world, what did you arrest me for? What did you call me for? What did you set me apart for? You didn't call me to come and sit until you come. You called me into active service for the kingdom of God. What did you call me for? In other words, what God is saying, we need to change our minds. We need to stop wondering what God, the kingdom of God, can do for me and look at what can I do for the kingdom of God. Maybe when you come into Greatest Freedom Ministries, maybe you can stop looking at what can Greatest Freedom Ministries do for me, but what can I do for Greatest Freedom Ministries to fulfill the God-given vision that you gave the pastor when you started this? Each of us are here to fulfill a vision. And if you have a vision for your life, when you're helping someone else fulfill their vision, God will fill yours. Amen? In other words, he's saying we're active duty, guys. We're active duty. We're not here by accident. God purposed for us to be here. God purposed because there's a plan. Amen? And let me say this to you. Some of you, God doesn't call the equipped. He equips the called. Hello? In other words, I just seek the Lord. Lord, what is it you want me to do? And whatever he tells me to do, I'm going to do it by full might. Amen? I'm going to do it and give it all the gusto. Give it all my strength. Amen? You know, he said, whatever you put your hand to do, do it with all your might. Do it. Hallelujah. And Paul says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth for those things which are before. I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He said, let us therefore as many be perfect or complete, pleroo, be thus minded. And if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. And what I'm saying is, I want you to get a hold of something. When God gives a vision, God gave a vision for an apostolic ministry here to reach the world. And when God gives a vision, there is no way in the world that I could do anything that God said by myself. That's why God brought others to beside me. God brought men and women of faith that believe God, that want to serve God, that want to see the kingdom of God come into lives around the world. Amen? So that's what this is all about. We're here to fulfill a great commission. Amen? Jesus said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Teach and observe all these things I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you even to the end of the world. Amen? We're not only just to go reach them, but we got to teach them. We're not just to reach them, we're to disciple them. We're to help them grow up. And so many times when I get grown up and I've been discipled, the problem is then I just wander off somewhere else, and then we got to raise someone else and disciple someone else, and they wander off. Then we got to raise the disciples are to make disciples. That's where spiritual multiplication takes place. Here, let me say something to you. I've said it before. The Lord spoke to me one time, and I had this dream, and I saw this headline in this newspaper, And it said, local church charged and found guilty of child abuse. I said, what? What's that, Lord? And he said, when you don't take care of my babies. In other words, everybody matters to the Lord. If we're not going to train them and teach them and disciple them, we might as well just leave them out there because their second state is worse than their first. So what God is saying is we're learning and we're growing together, we're to be helpers. We're to work together for the kingdom of God. Amen? And you know what? This can only be done through the kingdom of God and the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ. Because we're so much different, we naturally wouldn't do things together like this, but it's the Holy Spirit that joins us and unites us together as one body. Amen. We're not two bodies in this room. We're one body, and every joint is supplying another. It takes all of us working together to fulfill the kingdom of God. Amen. Amen. So we believe then in Romans 8 that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. Everyone in the room's called. Everyone in the room has a purpose in your life. Amen. You know, when it's just like when I see this on the sports channel, they have this poker tournament. And when someone knows they have the winning hand, they go all in. God wants you to know you have a winning hand. There isn't a loser in the house. We're all winners. We're all winners in Christ Jesus. Amen? So what he's saying is, hey, what he wants to do is he wants to bring all of our parts in and activate so that we can expand the kingdom of God. Amen? Amen? And let me say this. It's not for anyone's glory, but his glory. He does not share his glory with no one. He deserves the glory and the honor. You know, so... Amen. Amen. So in closing today, what is God saying to us? Plain and simply, just as he said to the church of Sardis, he said, be watchful, strengthen the things that remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. He has said for you and I to be alert, to be active, and to be aspired. To raise the because he says he'll come. Who can save us and I believe that he can return in a moment. He is our hope. Amen. That you and I, you know, are called Jesus, to be an activist. Only you know, what the mind says is, oh, he just wants me to do something. No, God wants you to do something. And who can make the blind to see? And no matter how big or how small it is, everything matters. That set you know, everything matters. He paid everything matters. To bring everything us peace. His name is bow your head in this prayer. Father, we're so grateful, Father God, for your word. We're grateful that you sent your word here today to accomplish what you sent us to do. Father, in the closing moments of this service, as we're ministering to our hearts and minds, is any here today does not know Jesus to be the Lord and Savior, and one time in a relationship with him, and you drift away, not the place you need to be. does, you need to slip up your hands. You still haven't missed the opportunity to share Jesus with anybody. Is anybody at all?